Thanks for tuning in to Farmer Theologian, a podcast designed to help you build deeply rooted practical theology. Let's get to work. All right, welcome in to another episode of Farmer Theologian. This is episode 49 on the body of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your patience and prayers. It has been a busy season. We haven't had an episode up in a while. Also, my family's been dealing with a good bit of sickness, which has delayed episodes, many episodes. I thought about recording, even recorded a couple, and my voice just would not hold up. In fact, this is actually take three on this episode today. So we'll see how it goes. If I can get through it without coughing and sniffling and making the recording unbearable, you'll hear this. If not, maybe we'll wait another week. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for praying for me and for my family. As I mentioned, it's been a busy season of ministry, and so I would encourage you, if there's ever a period of time where I go a couple weeks without a podcast, and you feel like, man, there hasn't been a podcast in a while, let that encourage you to pray for me and to pray for our church, because our local church, Grace Community Baptist Church of Elgin, Texas, it's always going to come first, way ahead of this podcast, and so it's pretty likely if I'm delayed on an episode, it means we've just been busy with ministry, and so we greatly appreciate your prayers. Well, as I mentioned, today's topic is on the body of Christ. We're going to be discussing issues related to the church or the doctrine of ecclesiology. I'm going to look at some important basics of the doctrine, looking from a few key texts, maybe some overlooked needs in our understanding of the doctrine of ecclesiology, and particularly the application of our understanding of this metaphor, if you will, of the church as the body of Christ. And then we'll close out today looking at a few of what I think are, I'm calling contemporary challenges, just a few challenges that I think are particular to our digital media age that inhibit our right application of ecclesiology. So we're going to start with looking at some basic understanding of the church as the body of Christ. We're going to look at two key texts, and I'm going to read them. They're a little bit longer texts than normally read for a podcast. If you're driving, pray these will be a blessing to you, and you can maybe listen back later when you can have a Bible in hand. If you're not driving or otherwise occupied, and you can turn in your Bible, I would love for you to follow along with me on these texts. The first text I'm going to read is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. As always, I'll be reading from the NASB 95, the non-Armenian Standard Bible. Follow along with me again. It's Romans 12, verses 3 through 13. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So there we have a key text on understanding the church as a body, and we see the highlight that the body metaphor is used to show that though we have one Lord and one ruler over the church, one head of the church, which is Christ, we are members with a diversity of gifting that are united as one body in Christ. This same metaphor is used in much the same way in 1 Corinthians 12. That is another key text that I'm going to read for us. I'm going to read this whole passage. It is 31 verses, which take me a minute or two. So stick with me, and again, follow along with me if you can. Again, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, and to another effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If there were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and the members of the body which we deem less honorable are those we bestow more abundant honor. On those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lack, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. And then, of course, we know that passage goes into 1 Corinthians 13, which we all know is the love passage. Often it's read at weddings, even though it's about church and the ministry of the gifts. But it's much like Romans. It goes into more detail, but it's much the same as Romans. The picture there of the church as the body under the headship, the lordship of Christ, functioning through a diversity of members, meaning a diversity of gifts, a diversity of experiences, a diversity of wisdom, a diversity of maturity, all working together under the headship of Christ, serving one another in love for the growth of the body. And of course, we could look at Ephesians 4, Colossians 2, also talk about this idea that as the members function as their members, they grow with a growth, as Colossians says that in Colossians 2:19, a growth that is from God. And all the texts that talk about the body stress unity. So these are really the key points we want to consider. So I want to highlight for you, thinking through these passages and what they teach, really kind of four key points that sum up our understanding of the church as the body of Christ. What is communicated when we talk about ecclesiology and the church as the body of Christ? Well, the first key point to keep in mind is Christ is the head. Christ is the source of authority and life for the church. It is God who is the one who is over the church. It is the same Spirit working through all the members, the same God who makes all the effects perfect as he's designed them for the members serving in their gifts. But Christ is the head. God is in charge of the church is another way to say that. That is key to our understanding of the church as the body. No member of the body is the head. Christ is the head. God is in authority over his church. The second kind of key to our understanding is that the body has many members. The body has many members. Again, this speaks to diversity. And don't get worked up. I'm not talking about diversity in the way that the world uses diversity, but a diversity of giftings, talents, experience, levels of wisdom, stages of maturity, those kind of things. All those things are brought together in the body, and a unity is created through that diversity. That brings us to really our third point. All the members of the body are necessary. So second point, the body has many members. Third point, all the members are necessary. And that's what's pictured beautifully in Corinthians in two ways. One, I cannot say because I am not some other member that I want to be, that I'm not useful, right? So the hand can't say, or that it's pictured in here, that the eye cannot say because I am not an ear, I am not part of the body. That doesn't make it any less part of the body. So it's on the negative side in that sense, but also in the sense that one member can't say to another, I have no need of you. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you, ear. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, foot. So all the members are necessary, and that should affect the way we look at our own necessary place in the church and the necessary place of the other members in the church. All the members of the body are necessary. And then the fourth thing that really kind of sums up all this, so we've got 3 points so far. Christ is the head. The body has many members. All the members are necessary. The fourth kind of key thing to understand is this is God's design. This is his craftsmanship of the church. He has designed it this way. This is his intention for the church. And it is a good and wise design for accomplishing the purposes which the church is made for. The church is God's means by which he will build his kingdom. The church is God's means by which he will preserve and spread the gospel witness. The church is God's means by which he will sanctify a people for his own possession in preparation for glory. He accomplishes these means through his design of the church, and particularly of the local church. This is God's design of the church. So 4 key points to our understanding that we take away from this metaphor of the church as the body. Christ is the head. The body has many members. All the members are necessary. And this is God's good design. So how do we respond to this? How do we apply this glorious truth of the church as the body? Well, the first and most appropriate application is we should praise God for the church. We should praise God for his good and wise design of the local church. God has not left us here as believers, as those saved by Christ and those waiting his return. He has not left us here to figure out how we do life, how we grow in our sanctification, how we do things. Instead, he has given us the church for this purpose, to function in this way. So we should praise God for the church and for his wise design of the church. Second, we should affirm in our thinking and in our words and actions the importance of the church. And in some ways, we need to renew our mind on this. And where necessary, we need to repent of wrong thinking. We need to repent of unbiblical thinking on this. If you are of the mind that the church is not necessary, the church is no big deal, the church is not an important part of your life, you need to repent of that. This is God's good design for accomplishing his purposes through his people. And so we need to renew our mind and affirm the importance of the church. The third real application point kind of flows directly out of that. We should prioritize the local church. We see this really pictured well in the early church when they're selling everything, they're getting together every day. Now, I'm not saying those are prescriptive passages that we need to go and do likewise, sell everything we own and just give it to the church, lay it at the apostles' feet. That's not what I'm saying. But we do see the principle there of the priority of the church. I think one of the gravest things that is going on in the church today, particularly in the American church, is we just don't see the church, the local church, the assembly of the saints, as a priority. And that's a terrible thing. We should prioritize the local church. And then along with that, we should participate in the local church. So prioritizing the church doesn't mean just showing up, but really participating in the church. And that means submitting to being sanctified as the other members and their giftings are used by God to make you grow with a growth that comes from him. And also being used, which is to say exercising your gifting to sanctify others. This is what's needed in the church. The church needs all the people with all the different gifts functioning faithfully, giving glory to God and the faithful exercising of their gifting in order to grow with a growth that comes with from God. So again, 4 application points. Praise God for the church. Affirm the importance of the church. Prioritize the church. And participate in the local church. If you take nothing else from this episode, I pray that it drives you to have a greater love for your local church, a greater desire to participate in your local church, and to see the Lord work through you and in you through participation in the local church. Well, one more thing before we close, I want to talk about is some kind of what I'm calling contemporary dangers of our understanding or to our understanding of this doctrine. We live in the information age, in the digital age, the digital media age in particular. And I think this sets for us 2 traps that we need to be careful of in terms of rightly applying an ecclesiology and understanding of the church as a body of believers with many members, all of which are necessary. The first real trap of our age is that we can be fooled into thinking that we're being noble Bereans when actually we're just amassing for ourselves teachers in accordance with our own desire. We have so much information available to us, and that is a good thing. Friends, I'm not a Luddite. I'm using a podcast right now to communicate to you. So I do think there's value in using digital media for the growth of the Lord. But we have to be careful of letting that lull us into this thinking that we're just growing. We're just trying to learn as much as we can, when really we're just resisting the teaching of our local church. We're resisting being sharpened by our local church. We're resisting a connection to our local church where people know us, know our sin, will confront us over our sin, know our weaknesses and our errors, and will teach us and correct us in those weaknesses and errors. And instead, we can just amass for us teachers that just agree with what we already agree with. That's a real danger of our age, of a neglecting the teaching and the discipleship that is designed by God to be done in the local church, and instead substituting that with the appearance of discipleship through digital media. Can you use digital media to grow your understanding? Absolutely. But friends, prioritize the local church. God has designed the local church for discipleship. So prioritize the local church in your discipleship, and don't be fooled into thinking that you're being a noble Berean by just amassing all these online teachers to affirm what you want to hear or what you already believe. Prioritize the local church. So the second error that I see in this is, along with that, kind of what the digital media age really is by design doing is luring us into silos or into echo chambers. This is part of how media works, because when it comes to digital media, whether that be social media or entertainment media, news platforms, those kind of things, you are the product. They are selling you and your attention to advertisers. And so they are going to necessarily put before you things that will keep your attention for longer and longer and longer. And that typically is the things that we enjoy or the things that we agree with, not so much the things that will challenge us and will help us to grow. And so what that ends up with is we end up in these silos, these digital media driven echo chambers that really stunt our growth and stunt our sanctification. Again, dear friends, Scripture teaches us that we need the local church with a diversity of members, with a diversity of gifts, all to function together, faithfully exercising our gifting with one another so that we grow with a growth that comes from God. You can form your own little group of all ears, all hands, all feet online and think that you're growing, and really your growth is being stunted because you're not getting that gifting from the other people that maybe don't entertain you, that you don't identify with as easily, right? You need that other Christian in your church that comes from a different background, has a different set of life experiences, has wisdom from different experiences that God has designed to be in the local church so that you can grow with one another. You can sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. This simply cannot be replicated online, cannot be replicated through digital media. Digital media, especially social media, gives us the appearance of connection, the facade of intimacy, and it's all fake, friends. You don't really know that person online. You know what they want you to know. You know what they've, this curated version of themselves that they've put online. And that's not going to help you grow. You need to be in a local church with real people, with a diversity of gifting, with a diversity of experience, different ages and stages of Christian maturity, so that we're all growing one another through God's design of discipleship in the local church. Be careful of being lured into the digital age silos where you refuse to be teachable, where you refuse to learn, where you're not exposing yourself to a variety of gifting that God has designed into the local church. That will, dear friend, stunt your growth. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in today. I pray that this episode would lead you to praise God for the church, to love your local church. And if you want to apply this truth today in one particular way, let me encourage you, reach out today and encourage someone in your local church. Exercise the gifting that God has given you wherever, whatever stage of your Christian life you're at, however sanctified you are, exercise your gifting in what God has done in your life to encourage somebody else from your local church today. Thanks for tuning in to Farmer Theologian as we continue to build deeply rooted practical theology. One more thing as we close, friends. If this episode has been an encouragement to you and you want to support Farmer Theologian, let me encourage you to do two things. The first is pray for me. I know that I cannot do this on my own strength, so I would greatly appreciate your prayers. And the second thing is share this with a friend. If this episode encouraged you, blessed you, given you things to think about that have pressed you on to love and good deeds, then please do share this with a friend. And then come back next time for the next episode, Farmer Theologian.